Children of the Heavenly Father, safely His bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a
Beloved brethren, delegates from the 20th General Conference Delegation Session, we stop our business to make a special meditation upon the Word of God. And I invite you to open in your Bibles the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and verse 21 again. In here we find the announcement of the greatest gift that can be ever be given to anyone. He said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This text described our Savior, my Savior, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever given to mankind. In Luke chapter 2, describing the same scenario, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The greatest news ever given He said, there is a Savior given to mankind. Many years before, hundreds of years before, prophets spoke about the coming of the Messiah. They spoke about God being made flesh. For example, Zechariah 13 and verse 1, he said, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. This is the most greatest news that we have ever heard. The news that we have a Savior, a complete Savior. The inspired pen through Ellen G. White, trying to describe the plan of redemption in Councils on Health, page 222, Councils on Health, 222, he said the Godhead was stirred with pity for the race, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gave themselves for the working out of a plan of redemption. In order fully to carry out this plan, it was decided that Christ, the only begotten Son of God, should give himself in an offering for sin. In this statement, we find a committee, which is called the Godhead, a committee made of three. He said they were full of pity for the race. And in response to that, they made an agreement and they decided something. They made a resolution. And he said it was decided that Christ, the only begotten Son of God, should give himself for an offering for sin. This is why the angel told Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, in this gift of Jesus our Savior, God gave everything to us. In the same statement, further down, he said, with Christ, he gave all the resources of heaven that nothing might be wanting in the plan for men's uplifting. So in Christ, in Jesus our Savior, say all resources of heaven were given. So we have everything with us. This is why when the prophecy was given about our Savior, it was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. John, the apostle, mentioning his first chapter of his book, he says, and this word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. Jesus became flesh. Prophet Isaiah, trying to describe our Savior, he used the following word. He said, and shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and many other names. This is the kind of plan that God has given to us, brethren. We should be the happiest people because we have a Savior. We have Christ. Now, no one can claim that provision has not been made for him. In fact, there is no human being that can say he cannot be saved. And I invite you to open in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, describing the work of Jesus. Hebrews 10:25, he said, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So Jesus can save to the what? To the uttermost, because he liveth to make intercession for us. We should praise the Lord in a daily basis, because we have a Savior that is interceding in the heavenly sanctuary in our behalf. And his blood is sufficient to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10. He said, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So Jesus came to make us complete. He said, through him, our life come to a conclusion. Our life come to a completeness. Only in him. And that work of salvation has been provided to us since the very beginning. The book of Genesis described the beginning. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. But John the Apostle also described the beginning in the following words. The first chapter of John, from verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And notice that verse 4, he said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So another ingredient we find here, he said that in him was what? Life. Now what kind of life is he talking about here? In the Desire of Ages, page 785, speaking or commenting about this text, he said, it is not physical life that is here specified, but eternal life. The life which is exclusively the property of God. So here, it's not only referred to this physical life that we all possess, but it's a temporal life. But he possessed everlasting life. And he came to this world not only to possess himself eternal life, but to make it possible to us. This is why in chapter 3, verse 16, the most popular verse of the Christian world, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That life is in Jesus. This is the provision that has been made for you and I, brethren, from the very beginning. David the psalmist, in his inspiration, because he used to be inspired many times and write many things and sing songs of praises. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, and he said, and verses 1 and on, 2 Samuel 22, verses 1. He said, and David spake unto the Lord the words of his son in the day that the Lord has delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Notice what he said. Verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. So this is an expression of an inspired man, a man that was able to understand the provision that God made for you and I. And everyone that come to Christ and accepting in his life as his personal Savior, he shall also receive the greatest gift, the gift of eternal life. He came to this world to bring to us immortality, that we should not perish, but has everlasting life. In one occasion, Jesus was traveling in his missionary journey, and he was commuting from one city to another city, and one man, which was a tax collector, he had heard about Jesus. In fact, Zacchaeus, which was his name, he had heard the messages of John the Baptist. And in one occasion, he heard John instructing the people that what they needed to do in order to be saved. And one of those instructions was, do not accept more than is required. And of course, you know, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He had provided to himself wealth to the expense of the people. But he was attracted to the rabbi. And when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he went to see him. And you know the story. When we were children, we heard the story of Zacchaeus. Because he was very small, he climbed a tree. And when he saw the multitudes passing by, and Jesus was just underneath of the tree, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to your house. Imagine the surprise of this man. And he was so amazed of the love of God that in front of the multitude, he made a confession. He said, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything by fraud of anyone, I will give it back, and I return it in a multiplied way. When Jesus saw this man, when he heard this confession of this man, he said, this day, salvation has come to this house. Jesus is our Savior, my beloved brethren. In the same way that he came to Zacchaeus, he come to you. He come to me. The whole heaven is interested in the salvation of men. In the story of redemption, speaking about the interest of heaven for us, it says, page 45, angels were so interested for men's salvation that there could be found among them those who would yield their glory and give their life for perishing men. So notice that even angels were willing to come and offer their life for the salvation of mankind. But, said my accompanying angel, that would avail nothing. The transgression was so great that an angel's life would not pay the debt. Nothing but the death and intercessions of his son would pay the debt and save the lost man from hopeless sorrow and misery. So, not an angel, no one could have made such a sacrifice that would be sufficient to save mankind. For this reason, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him, he exclaimed, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is the kind of Savior that we have, my beloved brethren. He said, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You and I can be saved only through Christ. We cannot design our salvation. For more effort that we can make, the more education we can get, we cannot gain the salvation of our lives. Step to Christ, page 18, said education, culture, the exercise of the will, human effort, all have their proper sphere. But here, they are powerless. They may produce an outward correctness of behavior, but they cannot change the heart. The only person that can change your heart is Jesus Christ. This is our Savior. In Him, we are complete. And it's through Jesus that we live today. He sustained mankind with His hand. He says in one occasion, "For without me, ye can do nothing." And the Apostle Paul said that I can do all things through whom? Through Christ. Now Jesus provides a complete salvation for you and I. He doesn't do a half a work. He provides for you a way of escape, a complete salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I like the expression used by the apostle. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20, 29. We will read 29 and 30. 1 Corinthians 1, 29. It said that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. Now what is wisdom? The wise men said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But he was also made unto us righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. But there is no one righteous, said the Bible. So it is Christ that can provide his righteousness to us if we accept him. But there is one more step. See, he was made unto us sanctification and redemption. Sanctification. What is sanctification? Sanctification removed from us the power of sin. And Christ came to make a complete work in your life. In Galatians 1 verse 4, Galatians 1 verse 4 says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So Christ came to deliver you and I from this evil world. In fact, Jesus came and died for one purpose. And that purpose is described in Ephesians chapter 5. When he mentioned the comparison between the love of husband and wife, the relationship between husband and wife. Ephesians 5, verse 25, he said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. For what reason? He said that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So Christ came and died that he may sanctify his church. In verse 27, he said that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle of any such a thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So, brethren, Jesus came and died. He made such a great sacrifice for a specific purpose, to sanctify his children, to deliver us from this evil world, to sanctify you and I. John, in his epistles, he said, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be." He said, "But we know," he's so confident, he said, "but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." Do you have that hope, my beloved brethren? Amen. Do you think that we can be like him? He said, "And every man that had this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure." So, beloved brethren, Jesus came to do a complete work in our lives. He came to justify us. He came to sanctify us. He came to glorify us, to give us a complete package, the plan of redemption. Christ's object lesson, page 69, say Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. So what is Jesus waiting for? He said he's longing for the manifestation of himself in his church. So when the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproducing his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. So brethren, the plan of redemption is not yet finished. It's going on. He's still waiting for those who are going to fulfill the full purpose of Jesus, that he came to make a complete work of restoration, a work of reformation in our lives. He said, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus is the only one that can justify a sinner. Now, justification is only given to those who accept Jesus. Justification is when God counts one person as a righteous because he sees Christ's righteousness in us. Justification is Christ's right doing imputed to the sinner, imputed to our lives. Now, sanctification is another step. Sanctification is God, through the Holy Spirit, making one righteous. Is Christ's right doing imparted to the Christian? Sanctification removed from us the power of sin. This is what Jesus is for you and I. Many people come to Christ and they're very happy. They make some changes in their behavior. But this is not enough, my brethren. This Light of Ages 172, it said the Christian life is not a modification or improvement of the old, but a transformation of nature. So the Christian life is not just some improvements. It's not just making some changes, some adjustment in your life. He said it is a transformation of nature. There is a death to self and sin and a new life altogether. This is why the Apostle Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Brethren, Christ came to this world to make a complete restoration, not a partial work. Say, by beholding and imitating his life, we shall become renewed in his image. What are we supposed to do? He said, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we shall be changed, beloved brethren. So when we receive Christ in our life is a constant progress. We should move on, go forward, says the Lord of hosts. In Acts of the Apostle, page 530, say, having received the faith of the gospel, the next work of the believer is to add to his character virtue. So notice here, he said, when we accept Christ in our life as our personal Savior, there is another work to be done. And he said, the next work of the believer is to add virtue to your character, and thus cleanse the heart and prepare the mind for the reception of the knowledge of God. So there is another work to be done. It is to let us go on unto perfection, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. The Lord has made provision for you and I, for your transformation, for your purification. The Lord says, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is true. Brethren, the only reason why Christ has revealed to us the most solemn message, the reason why he has given us the whole truth, is to sanctify and purify a people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Salvation is being offered to us through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of what? And belief of the truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, many people, they only receive a theoretical knowledge of the truth, but they fail to receive a transformation. But this is not enough. You say, a theoretical knowledge of the truth is essential, but the knowledge of the greatest truth will not save us. Say, the truth must be brought into their hearts, sanctifying and cleansing our hearts. So this is what we must do, my beloved brethren. Religion is not a mere theory, a sentiment. It is an earnest working of the salvation with fear and trembling. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So this is what Christ is for you and I, brethren. Salvation has come to your home today. This is what Christ is offering to each one of us. Many people ask the question, what shall I do to be saved? What shall I do? And this question is still asked. What shall I do to be saved? So just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as a personal Savior. And then you shall be saved and your house as well. But what do you think will happen if we neglect such a salvation? What do you think will happen if we accept Christ just partially? If we only profess to be a Christian? What do you think will happen? In Hebrews chapter 2, and let us read from verse 1 2:3. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So, brethren, this is Jesus Christ. This morning, our brother spoke to us about who is Jesus Christ. To me, Jesus is my Savior, my beloved Savior. And many prophets and kings and patriots in the past, they have their own ideas about Christ. They have their own understanding. And I would like to conclude our message this evening with an incident that took place approximately 2,000 years ago when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and the multitude receiving with hosannas. The soldiers tried to intervene in the procession. And by trying to do that, they asked the question, who is this? Who is this Jesus that is coming? The disciples, they had a very good answer for them. They said, the disciples, filled with the spirit of inspiration, answered this question. In eloquent strains, they repeat the prophecies concerning Christ. And they said, Adam will tell you, it is the seed of the woman that shall bruise the serpent's head. Ask Abraham, he will tell you, it is Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace. Jacob will tell you, he is Shiloh of the tribe of Judah. Isaiah will tell you, is Emmanuel, wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah will tell you, is the branch of David, the Lord our righteousness. Daniel will tell you, he's the Messiah. Hosea will tell you, he is the Lord of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. John the Baptist will tell you, he is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The great Jehovah has proclaimed from his throne, this is my beloved Son, in which I am pleased. And we, his disciples, declare, this is Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Life, the Redeemer of the world. And the prince of the powers of darkness acknowledge him, saying, I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And I would like to leave you with a question. Who is Jesus Christ for you, my beloved brethren? Is he your Savior? If Jesus is your Savior, keep in mind that he wants to save you completely. He wants to save you unto the uttermost. He wants to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. This is my wish and prayer. Amen. Let us bring the meeting to conclusion for tonight, and let us sing together hymn number 44. Hymn number 44. Let us bow our knee in conclusion for the final prayer.
Our dear gracious Father in heaven, we come to thee in the name and the merits of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the day of activities, for thy guidance, for the good news we heard from many parts of the vineyard through the world. We see thy hand. We see thy providences. We see thy mighty work, saving souls everywhere. And Lord, we want to be saved. We want to be in that great day with those who will receive Jesus in peace and will express, this is the Lord we wait so long. He came to save us, to take us home. Lord, forgive our sins. Help us to trust totally in Thee. Help us to surrender all to Thee. Help us to walk with Thee daily, that the sanctification will be a reality in every life, that we will be able to share and to inspire others to trust in Thee, to understand Thy love, and to submit to Thee. Amen. Lord, with all our needs, with all our desires, we come to Thee to reconsecrate ourselves to Thee. Forgive us and accept us as we are. And change us, Lord, for Thy honor and glory. We pray that You continue with us, blessing through all this conference, that we, at the end of this delegation session, we will be able to go home with our hearts renewed and full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Baptize us, Lord. Baptize us daily and prepare us for Thy kingdom. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray for us and for our families, for Thy people everywhere in this world. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.